You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
It's you.
You're gonna get me in trouble, Dante.
Someone could hear me.
I wish someone wanted to hear me. Other than you. I know I'm not supposed to love music.
No music. No music.
But my great-grandma Coco's father was the greatest musician of all time.
Papa.
Ernesto de la Cruz.
One day, he left with his guitar and never returned.
No, my family thinks music is a curse.
Great-great-grandfather, none of them understand me.
I'm supposed to play music.
All right, who's in there?
I'm sorry. What's going on?
I'm just dreaming.
Do you mind?
Welcome to the land of the dead.
Dante, wait up! You gotta stay with me, boy.
This isn't a dream, then. You're all really out there.
Agents at the Department of Family Reunions are available to assist you.
Please be on the lookout for a living boy.
Miguel? You're here.
We're your family, mijo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kel Smith. Joining me today is...
Hi, I'm Kate.
And today we are going to be talking about two movies, not just one, but two movies. We're going to be talking about Coco and Olaf's Frozen Adventure.
Yeah.
Because while it is 21 minutes, it still should be counted as a movie for how long it felt. But we're going to start with the shortest thing and then work our way to the biggest. Or the best of the worst of the best. That would have been a disaster if it was if I liked Olaf more than Coco. That would have been a disaster.
It's just Disney. Stop with the Frozen. We get it.
I hate Olaf now.
I don't hate Olaf. I still think he's cute. It's like what I told Kel earlier. Disney is pimping out Frozen as much as they can.
Yeah.
It's just...
Until they get that sequel going.
Isn't the sequel coming out in a few years?
Yeah, I think it's coming out like 2019 or 2020.
Come on, people. Make new content. Why do you think we like Frozen so much? Because it's different. I mean...
Yeah, 2019...
Seriously?
Thanksgiving, yeah, 2 years from now.
I'll go see it just because I'm a Disney fanatic, but...
Well, I would go see it, but the problem is, and they had a similar problem when they did a short, just like it was in front of Cinderella. It's like, we don't really need any more of this world of Arendelle. Keep thinking of Riverdale.
Wrong universe, Kale.
wrong universe, wrong, just completely wrong company and everything. But Arendelle, you know, I don't need to know more. I got everything I wanted out of the Frozen. I guess I'll see the sequel because I have this podcast. That's my excuse for everything now. I have this podcast.
Yeah.
So I'll see everything. But...
I'll see it just because, again...
You're a Disney fanatic.
Yeah, it's... Disney's my life. I love it, even though I'm 20 years old.
I'm 23, so...
I still make my boyfriend watch Disney movies with me. We watched one last night, and he's like, what the fuck is going on?
Well,
and I'm like...
Knowing...
It's a small world.
Knowing your boyfriend, what movie was it?
Honestly, I can't remember. it was a night for me because I just got off work and I think it was Tarzan. I think. Okay.
All right. So yeah, so Olaf's Frozen Adventure, it's one of those shorts that it was originally supposed to be a TV program. Like it was originally supposed to be like a part of like an ABC Christmas specials.
I think it would have been better to do that instead of putting it with
it would have been
Coco.
More, not edible, but more digestible, I guess.
Yeah, because when you go to, you're mixing holidays, Disney. That's not, no, just no, no.
Yeah, Dia de los Muertos.
Muertos. I think that's what it says. I'm sorry.
And Christmas are completely different holidays.
It's like remembrance and celebration.
And that's the thing, too. This movie is like tradition, tradition, tradition. We got to find a tradition. You're miserable if you don't have a tradition. And it's like...
What's your Christmas tradition, Kale? Since the whole damn short film is about tradition.
Oh, my tradition. My tradition is I just, for Christmas, every Christmas Eve, I go to my grandmother's and we have dinner. And sometimes it's, and most of the time it's lasagna.
Ooh, I love lasagna.
We have lasagna and it's essentially Italian night on Christmas Eve. Even though my family's not Italian whatsoever. But we love the lasagna and it's something we can pop in the oven and feed like 15 people. And we open presents and then we go home and then Christmas morning we open each other's gifts to each other and then we eat breakfast.
Oh, nice. My family, I always go to Oklahoma for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And my family, we on Christmas Eve, we make Oreo balls and then we play Monopoly. It's the adults, anybody under the age of, I think 16 is not allowed to play because of the language that we say to each other.
Okay.
Basically, when my grandmother goes to bed, so kind of like all bets off the table with cursing. Mm-hmm. I told my cousin last year, I'm like, you're going to go to fucking hell if you make me lose. And then, well, beforehand, we usually have a nice dinner and then we either decide if we want to open one gift or we don't. I usually opt out because I like opening all my gifts Christmas morning. And then on Christmas morning, we open presents and stuff. And then we go, usually it's snowing, so right. We go outside and we make my little cousin sit in the snow for 20 minutes and pretend that we're going to throw snowballs at him.
Right. So, yeah, we don't get snow in Georgia, so.
I'm very lucky.
I know.
But then when it does snow in Georgia back in, like, January and February, I'm like, I just got out of this.
You're tired of it.
Oh, my gosh. Like, when I'm in Georgia, I don't like snow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just such an inconvenience.
It's not snow. It's ice.
It's an inconvenience because nothing in Georgia is built for snow.
No. But we do miss school, and that's the only thing I like about it.
I don't even like that part. I don't even like that part because it's a day I have to be stuck at home.
Oh, it's a day where I can sleep. I'm very sleep deprived, especially this semester.
Yeah, this has been a long semester.
Well,
actually quick for me, but long for probably you.
Yeah, you're not taking core classes anymore.
I know, I'm almost done.
I know, congratulations.
I know. But before we get back to Olaf... do you watch any movies on Christmas? Because I will occasionally do if there's nothing else going on after breakfast.
My aunt has been watching Christmas movies since July. As soon as her birthday is over, it's like, bring on Hallmark.
Bring on the holidays?
Hallmark. So, yes. And then I'm like, okay, so like starting today, I'll watch Elf, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the original first, and then I'll watch the remake, and like I'll slowly like kind of build up more and more stuff, and like whenever I'm like wrapping presents and stuff, I listen to Christmas music because it's kind of like it puts me in the mood. And then because I was wrapping presents over at Jordan's house for his little sister and his parents, and I had to wrap this huge box and a poster, And I'm like, I need Christmas music. And he was looking at me and he's like, do you have to do this right now? He hates holiday music and holiday movies. Like, with the passion.
I'm just annoyed because I get enough. Christmas is so, like, especially this time of year, just like everywhere. Like, it's so in your face that when that for me, you know, I'm okay when I don't like watch Christmas stuff. Like, really, the only Christmas movies I watch are like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and Die Hard. And
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
It is. It takes place.
I will fight to the end.
It takes
it's
place.
It's an action movie.
Well, so is like Lethal Weapon. So is like almost every Shane Black movie, but they still take place around Christmas.
It's not a Christmas movie. I will fight you, Jordan, and everybody
it takes
else
place at Christmas. It meets the standard. It's not a hard standard to cross.
We'll agree to disagree.
Okay. But yeah, I'm just so inundated. Sometimes I'll just even watch Team America.
Really?
Yeah, on Christmas.
I'll watch the whole thing. Like, on Christmas, we had this whole thing, or this other tradition, where we watch A Christmas Story, because that was my great-grandmother's favorite movie when it first came out. And my great-grandmother has just passed away, so we're like, okay, we're going to sit down, we're going to watch this, and then we're going to have, me and my grandmother are going to make these little meringues that she used to make, and we're all just going to sit around and just open a present or two on Christmas Eve in remembrance of her. Cool. That's, like, the plan.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Excited.
Awesome. We open... My great-grandmother also died this year as well.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's fine. It was in August. But we opened China for Thanksgiving. Her, like, we used her China to serve on Thanksgiving this year. So it was really nice way to remember her. Anyway, Olaf, why does this short suck, Kate? Why? The short is so terrible.
Because Disney is pimping Frozen out. Like a bitch it is, and I want it to stop. I don't want that bitch anymore. Like,
Elsa was so cool back in her day.
Elsa and Anna's relationship now, it's like that angsty teenager. Anna, I'm the reason why we don't have family traditions. Bitch, yes it is your fault!
But what else? It really isn't, though. It's her parents' fault. Like, really, if you think about it, because the troll... in Frozen specifically says, if you love her, nothing will fucking happen. Like, if you just show her love and respect and show her a path to where, you know, she can use her power for good, everything will be fine.
But
her parents are so fucking shitty that they leave them and they get and they die and they create Tarzan together. Oh, I think that's been proven, by the way.
It has been proven. Yeah. But it's just, I'm not going to say it's a bad short, because it is cute to watch.
It's
once in a while. It's, but there's a but. Stop. Just no more. Until you are like, it's like with the whole Toy Story stuff. Like, they always put a TV show out, or like a little mini episode out, like every year, every 2 years.
Of like a popular thing?
Yeah. They're like Toy Story, Toys of Terror. It's like, no. You stop. And now they're making a Toy Story 4, and I'm like, no! My heart already died with them when you did the third one.
I think that may or may get pushed back because of the whole Lasseter scandal.
What happened?
John Lasseter was
that?
He's like the creator of Pixar. Like, he did the first two Pixar movies, and then he didn't do the third one. Actually, the director of Coco did the third one, but he was going to direct the fourth one as like a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And
so now they don't have a director for Toy Story.
Well, he's on leave because of sexual harassment charges.
Ha!
Yeah, so that may or may not be a thing anymore. So who knows?
Actually, it's Disney. They're going to bitch out anything that they can.
Actually, let me see if there is another director for Toy Story 4. But, yeah. Well, I mean, we got... But yeah, you're not wrong. It's just we have been inundated with Frozen so much that it's kind of annoying. And it kind of already was getting annoying just a few months after the movie came out because we had heard that song.
Let it go. Well, I don't give a fuck anymore. That's all I hear whenever I hear her sing. But it's just kind of like... It's just like, stop. No more. We get it. Sisterhood is the truest love of them all. But make some new content. Good try. Love the idea of it.
Oh, John Lasseter is not directing Toy Story 4. My bad. It was Josh Cooley.
Oh.
My bad.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But it's just kind of like, I love Olaf. I think he's cute. I love his, he's cuddly. My aunt is obsessed with Frozen. And I do mean obsessed.
I mean,
every year I get a card for her from my birthday, and it's Frozen related. She gets my cards from the kids section.
And I get it, and I get the love for Frozen. I mean, it was in my top 10 of 2013, and I will argue with anyone to keep it because it's a really strong movie about
that
defies
no
conventions, and it. You know, and it's really about a person who's coming out. A person who is coming out and letting her body and letting her power not control her. Not letting the society control what she does with her body and her power. And that's a really powerful message to send with women. Like, just don't give a fuck. Be yourself. And I think it's a powerful message.
No doubt. Like, I totally agree with you.
But that's not. But that has nothing to do with the short.
But with the short, it's like they could have done it in a completely different way. Instead of it cramming down our throats that it's about tradition, like I noticed that the jingle that Olaf was singing was in summer. It was the song that he sang for the first movie.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. Just stop.
The laziness.
Yeah. They're taking the same equation, shortening it to 20 minutes, and adding the same jingles. The last song in there is good. I will give them that. Only because I love Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel.
Adele Dazeem.
What?
It's an old Oscars joke.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But yeah. Well, my problem with the short really was the story of it. And the story of it is they're all like searching for their traditions. But then again, we have been celebrating, you and or at least for myself, I've been celebrating the same traditions forever. And while Elsa and Anna have a very
strained
relationship and it's not normal and not a very normal relationship, but you still remember the things you did as a kid. I still remember things we did as a kid, and they don't seem to be that much older than us, so it's just like it feels so contrived that they're like, what the fuck did we do, Elsa? Or what the fuck did we do, Anna? Like it just feels, and even if it was true that they didn't do anything, it just adds even more to the like the long list of shittiness their parents were. And it probably was the best thing that Tarzan was an orphan.
Ooh.
I said you're salty.
You're so
They're
salty.
They're so
today.
Shitty.
Okay, but the thing is, Olaf is their tradition. It's like,
how though?
It's just no, honey, no. It's like if I look at Jordan, my boyfriend, and I'm like, you're the reason why we don't have traditions, and he's like, bitch, please. We do all this stuff together, and we do all this kind of other stuff. And, like, we are creating our own traditions as we grow in a relationship. Like, every like week or two, we go see a movie together, and then we go have dinner.
Yeah, you grow and build your own, you know, on top of the traditions you have. And this movie's just like, no, fuck that. We'll just keep to our own tradition. And not only that, we're going to force everyone to be a part of our tradition. Because...
I'll be devil's advocate. I like what they did by taking family to family to family and showing the different traditions. That's the only thing I like.
It's a good idea. It's a well-meaning idea. But the problem is, Olaf at the end still...
He's depressed. He's like...
Well, he throws all of their traditions and everything they gave him as a gift away. All their... Like, he throws it away.
He doesn't throw it away. It burns.
I mean, it's not... Yeah, it's... I should point that out. It isn't on purpose, but it's pretty careless how he disposes of everyone's, like... How, like... Like, how do you not know there's a fucking fire behind you? You are fucking cold. When you get hot...
He doesn't have a brain. What else?
You're surrounded by fucking snow. You're... It's cold. You don't feel the... It's just like... No, I won't get into nitpicky. But just... It's like...
He you want to get away. Into it.
Because it's just like... It's just... Because here's the thing about me. If there's enough things to nitpick in a movie, like... And... Passengers, that Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence movie, or Prometheus, where there's just enough things that just like set me off. I think it should be worth like mentioning it, that there's. I think it should be worth a mentioning.
Okay,
but yeah,
I will be the devil's advocate yet again. We're 20-something, and this movie is made for a 3-something? 3 to, like, 10?
I know, and it's just weird they put it in front of this movie that's already almost 2 hours long anyway, with previews.
It's just, please stop. Like, we get it.
We love... I really do... I really did like Frozen, and I really did enjoy Coco so much, but when I saw this movie, it was just like... Fuck, let's come on. And I even heard like stories, not from friends, just from watching other people's colleagues and their stories and talking to some other people. People were walking out of the movie, out of Olaf, to the box office to want either ask for a refund or ask if they got stuck in the wrong theater. Because it was just so long that people were just wondering, like, what the fuck is going on?
My grandfather's side, she brought her 2 little girls, and they're like, Mommy, did we go to the wrong movie?
Yeah.
They're like, I don't want to see this. I want to see Coco. Like, it's like, damn, just, if you're going to do a short, do it like Piper. That little bird in the beach thing, that was cute.
Was that this year, or was that last year?
That was like 2 years ago, I think.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah. Because
it came out with Finding Dory.
Okay, yeah, last year.
Finding Dory came out last year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I thought it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, we got Inside Out.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. Just my opinion on it is it's...
It's good, but it's not good at the same time. Just stop, Disney.
Just stop, and if you are going to do another short, try and make it less than 10 minutes. And also, I always love it when Pixar puts a short in front of their movies. I always do. Like, it always makes me feel really good. Like, it always gets me pumped. It's like a tradition.
This is like... No, because, like, I remember that one short, Paper, the Paper Airplane one.
Yeah.
That was so cute. And that was, what, 15 minutes long? 10 minutes long?
Yeah. Paper Man.
But it was original. It's different.
And they combined 2 different animation techniques to make that work.
It was like, wow, Disney know what they're doing.
And then they put this in the...
I'm very disappointed. I will give Disney that it was a good short, but not in front of something that's completely different. That's kind of a bad move. And it's just, I would have wanted something a little bit different and original. It's like, you're pumping out so much stuff, and you're cramming it down my throat. And I'm like, no. I wanted to see Coco, not Frozen 1.5.
Yeah. So with that said, let's actually move on to the main course.
Yes.
Why we're all here today. Okay. So I'm gonna let you go first.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was one of the best films that Disney Pixar has ever done.
I also loved it. It's not necessarily top five, but I love
definitely
this
top
movie.
10.
Oh yeah, definitely. But this is beautifully well made, filled with, you know, it is about family and legacy and tradition, much like the Olaf thing. But still, this does it so much better. There's an arc. There's, you know, you feel for Miguel Rivera, and you feel for the characters, and you relate to everything. Sure, it's predictable. It's I will hand that to everyone all day.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause once everything kind of falls into place in this movie, you kind of figure out what happens. However, this movie works so well that, and it's so earnest and it's so like joyous and it's so mm-hmm. heartfelt that you don't really care. And I'll say, you can nitpick this movie every way you can, but the thing is, this movie just works so well and so earnestly that when I did see this movie, I did have like, I got teary-eyed or misty-eyed because of the last song and everything that was happening in the song. The songs are pretty much in Spanish for the most part, but the imagery that's accompanied with the songs and everything, it's like just wonderful. Very well done. Everyone did a fantastic job.
The only thing that I don't like about this entire movie, have you seen The Book of Life?
I haven't.
You need to watch
The Book
of Life.
I'm sorry, everybody.
The book, it's for those who have seen The Book of Life, it's basically the same storyline, but different.
Why don't you tell us for the listeners and myself that never saw Book of Life, why don't you just describe it real quickly and just describe the comparisons?
The Book of Life is basically based off of Shambhala and the Woman of Life. I can't remember her name. But
the actress or the character?
The character.
Oh.
It's about these three friends, two boys and one girl. And they have fallen in love with this girl, and they're trying to prove themselves. One is in love with music, and the other wants to be a warrior, like his father, who died in battle. And so these two gods place wages. The woman has chosen the boy who loves music, and Shambhala, the lord of the underworld, has chosen the guy who wants to be the warrior. And he gives the warrior everlasting life.
Maria?
Not Maria.
We're looking through IMDb, folks. Sorry.
La Maritta.
Okay.
She's kind of like...
thank you.
The overseer of the land of the dead. Like, kind of like party time all the time. But it's just kind of like them going through this journey and trying to figuring it out. I don't want to spoil it for you because it's a really good movie.
Okay. But
that's all I really want to give you.
But what is how does it compare? Like, I mean, what are the comparisons or things? Cause, and also I think we should keep in mind this movie was in production at the same time the movie was released.
Yeah. So basically, the little boy who loves music isn't allowed to play music because his father wants him to be a bullfighter. And Miguel and Coco, I see. They don't want him to play music because his great grandmother's father left them for music. It's same but different. It's just that there's like not like three best friends, but it's like the two main characters in both movies, they're just like, their family doesn't want them to play music for a certain reason.
And no, I won't ask because it's too spoilery, but yeah, but we can get into a little bit of spoilerish on this movie because the movie's been out technically for about 10 days now, give or take. And so yeah, that is an interesting thing to bring up. I wish I could ask, like, is music like a terrible thing, or is it like you know, Democrat versus Republican, like if you're a music or if you're not. I kind of wonder if it's like that in families, like,
and these particular families, yes.
Okay, because that's just how, because it's just so like, huh, okay, that's an interesting thing to bring up into Dia de los Muertos movie.
You're close.
Sorry, I'm going to butcher this. It's been 3 years since I've taken Spanish.
But it's just, it's going to change. I mean, like, they're similar, and yes, like,
which one's the better movie?
Coco.
Okay.
Definitely Coco. I'm sorry. I love The Book of Life. I even recently watched it to kind of like see what all was the same and what all was different. But like with Coco, you have a sense of family. And that's what Dia de los Muertos is like. It's like you sit down and you remember all the people in your family. And like, especially now, it came out on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the same week.
The same week. And I went and saw it the day before Thanksgiving just to kind of like get away from everybody. And it was just kind of like, wow, how could a family not support him in what he wants to do? And then it just kind of like realizing towards the very end of the movie that it's all together. And
yeah.
I thought it was quite beautiful. Not even to mention the animation. That was even more beautiful, and I was very happy about it.
Mm-hmm. This is probably one of the better Disney Pixar animation films. Like, just animation in general. Because I used to really love, and I really do think this had everything to do with it. I loved it when they were just working with 2D anime. Not 2D hand-drawn, like, when they had to just format it for 2D traditional films.
Yeah.
Because once they started getting 3D, you started to see like the motion blur and things start moving around, and you see it in Brave where the main character just looks like a white blob with red hair, and everyone looks like that. And that's the problem with Brave for me, is everyone just looks like a white blob moving, including the bear. It just looks like a blob with hair moving. And this is finally like, and I did not see this in 3D, but this is where they're finally now coming around to like, okay, we can now make competently looking 3D movies for 3D, and it still look very realistic and very, you know, beautiful and colorful to watch. Because that's what I love about this movie too, is that it's so colorful. Lots of orange and blues and a little bit of purple and just everything, you know, very colorful movie. And you brought up the characters, like, you do, yeah, it is so, like, it's so odd for them to just be, like, so anti of this one thing. But then you start to realize, like, why, it's all, like, hand in hand together, but you understand like why they were so frustrated, why they are so frustrated by music as the art form of music.
Yes, I do understand that. And it's just kind of like, it would be really hard for me, because I would be a whole lot like Miguel, like, why in the hell are you not supporting me in my dream? I don't want to make shoes, I want to make music. No, that's not my dream, mind you, but it's just kind of reiterating what Miguel's dream is in Coco. And the only thing that really clicked, because I knew the great-grandmother had something to do with why the music wasn't allowed to be played, because Coco hello, it's the title. And I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, and how everything comes together, it's very well done. And, you know, and the whole idea is he thinks Ernesto de la Cruz is, first of all, that's a great name.
It is. Well, the actor who plays him, he's delicious. Brat. He's old, but he's delicious.
I forgot what I was going to say. He thinks it's his great grandfather is Ernesto de la Cruz, someone he looks up to, and everyone in his little town looks up to.
And he thinks he's the greatest musician of all time.
He's respected like Elvis, essentially. And the trick of this movie is, and we are going, and I'm going into full spoilers, is that he's not the person that everyone thought he was. He's, if anything, he's really just a hack fraud who murdered someone just so he can continue his own success.
Yeah.
And that's what that's why I'm really drawn into this movie, because, and it's really interesting, because we're now in a time where all these sexual harassment allegations are being brought up, you know, in the last couple months, and
I mean, the last, like,
really 10 weeks.
No, like, past, like, 5 months.
Okay.
Things have started popping up, like, way before all this other bullshit that's been going on.
Okay.
I mean, if you really not even that, for, like, the past 40 years.
I mean, well,
people
yeah.
People have been quieted by money, and then they have the lady balls to actually stand up and be like, this fucker.
Well, they finally have come, well, it started with the wine, someone bringing down Weinstein, and then that was, well, I should back up. It started with the whole Alamo Drafthouse scandal.
Yeah.
I like the idea behind Alamo Drafthouse, but you guys really did screw up. You guys really did screw up.
Y'all done
royally
fucked up.
Or
I have
like
no
what she
chill
said
when it comes to people, or especially men, who think they have bigger balls than I do. And they try to keep me quiet with money after sexually assaulting me. No, I've not been sexually assaulted, mind you. I'm only just making an allegation. But, or not allegation. Analogy?
A statement.
Yeah, a statement.
Or, yeah.
But it's just, why are we getting political?
Well, I'm kind of bringing this up because I was watching Coco, and as like the whole storyline where it's realized, oh wait, Hector is the one that's been creating the songs, and and he's the one that's essentially the real artist, not Ernesto de la Cruz. And
it's just
interesting. And also the movie's climax is Ernesto de la Cruz is, you know,
admitting it
and also being shown to the public for, you know, who he truly is. And in a world where we're finally seeing like how people really are, like Kevin Spacey, or even as of recently John Lasseter for Pixar, and Harvey Weinstein. Well, I mean, people always knew Harvey Weinstein was a total dick. I don't think we realized how big of a dick he was.
I think we kind of laughed it off, because that's what we as human beings like to make humor as the uncomfortableness. Like, I know I do it all the time. I don't mean to, but it's just kind of like, if I'm uncomfortable, I make a joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, like, Seth MacFarlane has been doing at all the Oscars. Like, that one time he said, well, now nobody has a second to Harvey Weinstein anymore, ladies. Or it's like, was it Family Guy that did something about that?
Family Guy did the Kevin Spacey joke.
What about, I thought another one did the Harvey Weinstein.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But yeah, so I'm just kind of bringing it all around that it's really interesting how relevant Coco is, and that it's basically a movie about exposing the artist.
Coco's been in the works for how many years? 10?
No, I mean, it's been in the works, I think, at least since Toy Story 3, because that's when Lee Unkrich was able to, work on it. It might have been an idea he's been toying around for years, but he got the green light to do it right after Toy Story 3 came out, and that was in 2010.
But just to... The story of bringing a family together is... The way that they did it was amazing. The graphics were beautiful. Everything was well done. Everything kind of, like, brought everything in, like, full circle. And I thought that was really good. And then, are they going to make a Coco 2? If they do, I'm going to lose my shit.
I don't know. It takes forever to make these kind of movies, but... but
I mean,
we'll see.
They pumped out season 2 of Stranger Things in like 6 months.
That's a live action show, though.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And that's not actually not true. Stranger Things took like 15 months to do.
Oh, I thought they had to write it in 6 months.
No, I don't. I mean, that probably is true, but they had product.
Not included they had to do production all the, time. Yeah. They had to write it
and
six
editing
months.
And all that. Yeah. Maybe that is right. They had like 6 months to write it. But anyway, what was I saying? Ernesto. But yeah, that's really this interesting idea and theme of this all light movie. And then of course you bring in the importance of legacy by bringing in the ticking clock, script device, which is, Hector only has a few, like, really has the rest of the night to get his photo on the, I'm now blanking on it. Miranda? What's the thing they hang on all the pictures on the wall?
I don't
on?
Know.
Melinda. I'm sorry.
It's basically like a desk where they have, like, a tower. It's, like, it's shaped up like a tower.
Like a family tree.
Yeah, it's like a family tree, and you put all, like, the pictures on there, starting from the very beginning to the very end, or to the recent.
Merlinda, I think.
I don't know.
Anyway, he has, like, just put it on a Merlinda, just put it on some Merlinda, so he can cross over and see his daughter.
His little girl for one more time before
he goes, before he's forgotten. And it's just beautiful, very well. The whole ending of how it's all done and him, like, recollecting his grandmother's memory through the song, Remember Me, it's just beautiful. I mean, it's just a teary-eyed moment, just a cry, tears of joy, but moment when, like, and you just see the whole family just, like, having their whole world change because they're just like, we get it. Like, this is the power of music. This is how it ruined us, or it ruined our great grandmother, but it's now helping her remember, you know, a very beautiful moment between a daughter and a father.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. And then I got even more teary eyed when the ending, and it's a very happy ending. I am not going to take it away, but I got really teary-eyed watching the whole ending come together because you believe, you want Hector to be with his daughter and Mama Melinda? I'm trying
to... Melinda?
Yeah.
I think her name is that?
Elmenda.
Oh.
Mama Elmenda. You just want that to happen so much and...
Well, yeah, you
and when,
do.
And when it does, it's just on. It's nice. Nice that they're all together. And they're all together with Coco in his mariachi outfit singing away.
See, like, I didn't grow up with my father, so I don't have that type of relationship. But I have a relationship with two of my grandfathers. And I would never be the same without them. And that's what kind of, like, hit home with me in Coco. And it's kind of like, wow. Like, that's kind of an eyebreaker. So I called both of my grandfathers after I saw Coco. And I said, I really love you. And I love how much you support me in everything that I do. Like, it really brought home to me. And then I called, like, all of my family members and told them how much I appreciate them. For being in my life and being such, like, a huge impact on me. Because at first, I wanted to be, like, a drama major.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, no, I don't want to do that anymore. Now let's do English. Okay, nope, that doesn't work for me. Let's do film. Hey, that's not going to work either. So now I'm doing communication. So it's kind of like...
NPR?
Huh?
NPR?
Yeah, public relations. So if you need anybody, call me.
But, awesome.
It's like, I would not be here if it weren't for my family. And it's like, I look at Miguel, and he's like, he doesn't realize that at first because he's fighting to play his music, which I understand. But then it's kind of like, he has to go on this journey to find himself and find that connection with his family. And that was like, I think is one of the most important messages you can ever convey to a child, or even more an adult who doesn't know the hell they're doing half the time. But yeah, rant over.
No, it's very nice. It was very nice sentiment. So I really like Coco a lot. It's one of the I really like the Lego Batman movie still, and Captain Underpants.
I didn't see Captain Underpants. I was very reluctant because it's I never read any of the books.
It's like Deadpool for children, if that makes any sense.
But he's wearing underpants. That's weird.
It is weird, but when you see the movie, you understand. Especially if you understand the mind of boys.
Kale, I am female.
I know.
I don't understand men, just like men do not understand male.
I know, but you've dated boy, or you dated men.
I've dated men and women, thank you. I've dated the spectrum.
Awesome. But yeah, it's, I don't know, but anyway, this is the most emotion, this is the best, like, dramatic animated movie I've seen this year.
Yeah, no, it's great. If you haven't seen it, which I think you should if you are listening to it.
Go on out.
Yeah, seriously, go watch it. Especially bring a family member or a date or whatever and be appreciative of who's in your life.
Unless you're in New York and LA and you got The Shape of Water, The Disaster Artist, and all sorts of goody-goody two-shoe movies that are coming out near you, go see it.
Especially Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa. Is that
you gotta do it like James Franco does. You got...
I don't know what the hell...
That's...
I showed my coworkers parts of the film the other day.
The Room.
Yeah, they're like, what the fuck? I was like, go see this movie. And they're like, no. Is there anything else we want to talk about before?
Yeah, I don't have anything. I don't have anything else for Coco. And we got, we're almost out of time anyway, so.
Oh, okay.
But,
well, to kind of wrap up everything, Coco is an amazing movie about family. I cannot stress that enough. The animation of it all, what they did, a fun fact, they took GoPros and strapped them onto the guitars just so they could see how
fingers move.
Yeah, the fingers move and they played. And Jordan, he loves playing guitar and stuff, especially the bass. And he's just like, whoa, that's so cool. And he's like, I really want to go see that. I'm like, you would never see that movie with me because he's so busy. I'll say that. But it's like, what they wanted to convey, they did it. And they did it 10 times better than what they think they did. It's amazing. Go watch it. I'm done.
All right. Coco, it's a really solid movie. Yes, it's very predictable. Once all the key components fall into place, it's very predictable, but it's a fun, earnest, dramatic. You'll be teary-eyed at least watching the ending, and Yeah, it's a really good movie. Really good kids movie. And really this year just hasn't been really good for kid movies, in my opinion.
No.
I mean, I did bring up, yes, we had the Lego Batman. And I kind of liked the Boss Baby. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was cute. I liked their humor.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. And then Captain Underpants is like the most underrated animated movie of the year because no one went to see that movie.
Yeah, because of Kevin Hart. He sucks now.
Oh, don't tell the people who are making Jumanji.
Or who made Jumanji. I'm actually quite excited about Jumanji because that's childhood.
Childhood nostalgia. Run amok.
Yeah.
Run amok us millennials. But yeah. Go check out Coco. It's very good. Very fantastic. It's much better than Justice League. Which isn't much, but it's worth it.
Justice League just ran down the shitter for me.
Really just bad. Went through you like,
yeah.
Just went through you like butter.
Or? Only reason why I went to go see Justice League is because of Aquaman.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna say Jordan, but
that no. too. If you're listening to this, I love you.
But Jordan, thank you so much for letting me do this for like 121 episodes.
Oh wow, it is your 120th, isn't it?
I think last week was 120.
121.
This is 121.
Awesome.
But yeah, this is awesome. So I think that's it for Coco. Kate, do you have any places where people can find you? I know you don't do the Twitter.
I do have a Twitter now.
Oh, you do have a Twitter.
I finally gave in. So if you want to reach me at kparker26037, hit me up. I don't have very many followers. And then you can hit me up at pkate2016 on Instagram. And I'll probably add you.
Pkate on Instagram.
What is it called? Pkate2016 on Instagram.
Okay, gotcha. All right. And you can find me at MovieKale on Twitter. And you can also follow this show on Twitter at The Youth Critic, and you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at Gage Z Network. Thanks, everyone. I don't know what we're doing next week because we're all kind of at the end of this college semester, so it's kind of odd what we can see and what we can find time to do. The options are we can either do a Netflix show like The Punisher or Godless, or we can do The Room in honor the Room retrospective in honor of The Disaster Artist coming out next week.
I would do that with you.
All right. And that's it. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you next week.
Bye.
A perfect world.
These are for you.
Thanks, honey. They're beautiful.
A perfect life.
I would do anything for my girl.
I love you, Lisa.
I love you, Johnny.
Surprise! He provides for you. Darling, you can't support yourself.
I don't love him anymore. He didn't get his promotion. And he got drunk last night. And he hit me.
It's not true. I did not hit her.
Well, maybe you should have a girl, Mark. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I have one already.